إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Take it easy, huh? All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek Allah's assistance and we ask for Allah's forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, alaykum salam, no one can misguide. And whomever Allah allows to go astray because they're not interested in any guidance, then no one can guide. And hello, how are you doing? Everything is good? Yes. And I bear witness that there's no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant, not His son, not His partner, not anything else. He's His servant and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon Him, His companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path. Wrong language, huh? Sorry, Habibi. Today's khutbah was regarding economy. And you may say, what in the world does Islam have to do with economy? I thought Islam was about belief, that you believe in Allah and His angels and His messengers and His books and the last day and preordainment, right? Six pillars of Iman. Five pillars of Islam, the testimony of faith, establishing the Salah, paying the Zakah, fasting in Ramadan, and performing Hajj. Nice. Where in the world does economy come in these 11 things we mentioned? Actually, this is a misconception that people have about Islam. Islam is a complete way of life. And it actually, it guards all of our actions, whether they're related to this world or whether they are related to the acts of worship which will benefit us in the hereafter and in this world. But actually Islam deals with everything in life, even business. And we have verses in the Quran and narrations from the Prophet ﷺ that commanded Muslims to act and conduct themselves in a certain way in economy. Because this world that we're living in was created for our benefit. Allah created everything that you see for us. So we could come down from heavens, our father Adam, and be put down over here so we could utilize everything that you see for us. So the sun and the moon were created for us, and the animals and the earth and you name it, all for our own benefit. So we will have an easy life. And also, and more importantly, for these things to be signed, a sign for those who have a brain that works properly, that there's one creator who created all of this, and He is alone deserving of our worship. Right? So when you see the signs of Allah, it indicates that there's La ilaha illallah. There's no God worthy of worship but Allah. Good. Now, the Shaykh mentioned a few points from the Quran and the Sunnah that direct the Muslim in terms of business transactions and economy. For example, there's a wider principle which is based on truthfulness. Everything in Islam in terms of transactions right now is based on truthfulness. Any transaction that has some sort of cheating or lying is Islamically prohibited, and the person who is involved in this is sinful. Furthermore, the barakah, which is the blessing that he's supposed to attain from the money he is earning, will be taken away. So his money or her money will actually be of no benefit, but they will be a source of destruction. Because they're making money in an unlawful manner. So the principle is you have to make money in a lawful manner. You can't steal money. You can't get money out of interest. Interest is in many forms. The most basic common one is that I lend you 500 riyals on the condition that when you pay me back, you pay me 600 riyals. 5-6. I'm sorry. Fine. I lend you 600 riyals, and when you pay me back 700 riyals. 6-7 works? Or it has to be 5-6?
5-6.
This in Islam is prohibited. Islamically, the 100 riyal that you're paying is haram. And the person receiving the money, the one who lent the money, the 100 riyal is making is also forbidden, haram. And in the case that there were some people who were writing this contract, they are involved in this curse. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah curses the person who pays out interest. The person who takes it in, the person who writes the contract, and the two people who are witnessing. Yeah, if you have witnesses, witnessing for the contract and they sign at the bottom, everybody is involved and included in the curse. Al-la'na. Curse in Islam, when you are cursed, meaning you are kicked away from the mercy of Allah. You are deprived from the mercy of Allah, which every one of us here cannot live without. So for instance, why? Because it's oppression. A person is in need of money. Do you take advantage of his need or you help him out? You give him 500 riyal and you ask him to give you 600, you're not really helping him, you're putting more debt on his back. If he had money, he wouldn't be asking you for money to begin with. He needs money, so you give him more. If he is going to do this from every individual, he's going to wind up with a big amount of money he owes to the people, which they really don't deserve it, because it's not their money, it's extra money they're asking. Rather, in Islam, if I lend you 500 riyals, you pay me back 500 riyals, end of story. Now, the economy of the world is based on interest, and the banks work based on interest. And this is why the economy of this world is a busted one, where it fluctuates, goes up and down, things are unstable, and people are being oppressed. That's why you see these guys in the stock market and what have you, they show them on TV, they will have this thing and they have the numbers and they start beating each other. And next thing you know, they go shoot himself. He lost all of his money and what have you. Because people are living a busted life that is not in accordance to the teachings of Islam. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Ahlan, ahlan wa sahlan. So, Islam came to protect the honor of the Muslim and the non-Muslim and the wealth. So what I'm saying is also with non-Muslims. Not just because he's non-Muslim, meaning you could oppress him or you could take riba from him or you could do some other things. This is applicable across the globe. Every human being. We are supposed to be honest. Because Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullah wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. All you who believe, have taqwa towards Allah. Fear Allah and be among the truthful ones. So you have to be truthful in your transaction. The Shaykh also mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ghasha falaysa minna." Whomever cheats, he's not one of us. What is cheating? You have a cell phone. You want to sell it. You know that the battery is gone. Yani maximum 1 hour, and you will need to plug this thing in the electric outlet, and you will have to charge it again. And you go, you want to sell it to someone, and you don't tell him that. You know that. But you don't tell them that. See, it's a beautiful phone, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And you say the whole alphabet. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah, Mr. T. Or is it water? You sleep, huh? Tea makes you more sleepy, you need coffee. So, you don't tell him about the flaw. There's an error, there's a problem. This particular transaction is forbidden in Islam. Rather, you're supposed to tell the individual, look Habibi, the battery is no good. This button doesn't work, and the phone might die any day. And I'm going to sell it to you for 200 riyals. Take it or leave it. If he gets it, Alhamdulillah. Even if you make a smaller amount of money, Allah will bless this money. Allah will multiply this money. You will actually benefit from it. But some people think they're going to outsmart Allah. So they say, okay man, I'll sell it for 200 extra riyals and I don't tell the person about the flaw, right? So he's happy he made 400 riyals instead of 200 riyals. He's driving his car like this, boom, accident. Go get 10,000 riyals, fix the car of the person and somebody else. You made 200 riyals and you got 8,000 or 9,000 riyals extra to pay now with the 200 that you made unlawfully. So really people have to have a right understanding. You're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows the affairs of the heart. So don't play games. There's no playing games. You have to be truthful in our transactions, in selling, buying and selling. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if two people come together, yani the salesman and the one who's purchasing, if they are both truthful, Allah will bless this transaction. And if one of them is cheating, then the blessing will be removed. The blessing will be removed. So, depending on the nature of our job, if we want to sell an item, we have to tell the people the problems with the item, how it is. Another thing that is involved with your kafi. Now, most likely, 100% your kafi is a Muslim. Can't be anything else. These sponsors are supposed to abide by the Islamic teachings, which among them is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Do not give the one working for you more than he can handle. He said, if somebody works for you, then let him eat from the food that you eat. Yani, he doesn't get for himself al-bayk and then he gives you food and tamiz. If he eats al-bayk, he's supposed to get you al-bayk. Just to strike an example. And he should give you clothing from what he wears. So he doesn't wear fancy clothes and leave you unattended. Tayyib? And he should not give you more than you can handle. And we hear this from a lot of non-Muslims. The sponsor make him work 20 hours a day. No rest. This is a person who is totally have no understanding of Islam. And this is a person who will be in trouble on the Day of Judgment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he is oppressing the people. And oppressing the people is the problem. Because when you oppress yourself by committing sins, you might seek forgiveness from Allah. Allah will forgive you. But the oppression that you put upon people, this will not be forgiven. This they will have to, you will have to pay it back on the Day of Judgment. See what I'm saying? So the kafil who you have, if he is mistreating you, know that it is because he's ignorant of Islam. Not because Islam allows this kind of stuff. Because the Prophet ﷺ commanded the opposite. He said, don't give them more than they can handle. If you're going to give the one working for you, the employee, more than he can handle, help him out. If you have to carry 10 boxes and it's too much for you, he's supposed to pick up a few boxes alongside with you. This is what is supposed to be Islamically done. Also about wages, your salary. Your salary is not supposed to be postponed 1 month or 2 months or three months, leaving you with no money while he's sitting there living a lavish life. The Prophet ﷺ said, pay the employee his wages before his sweat dries. Yani, as soon as you're done, if you have a contract where he pays you monthly, yani, at the end of the month, exactly, you are supposed to be given your salary. No delays. Unless he has a valid reason and you are okay with it. He tells you, look man, my situation is a little no good right now. Bear with me, and you bear with him. But he has the money, but he decides to put you on the side because he wants to buy a nicer car. This is also Islamically unacceptable. So I'm telling you this so you will make a difference between what Muslims are supposed to do and what Muslims do. So when you go back to the Philippines and they tell you, why don't they pay you on time? Tell them because they're not really implementing the teachings of Islam. Islam actually commands that we were supposed to be paid on time, but my kafil has some problems. I ask Allah to guide him. Yeah. But tell him also, this is his problem, at least he's a believer. As for you, you have a bigger problem than him, which is not being a believer. So don't pick on him because he has a problem. Rather, fix yourself first by becoming a believer and be better than him. Well, when you become a believer, you don't do this to the non-Muslims who work for you or to the Muslims who work for you. Anyways, don't be careful of them trying to use this against you. See, he told you this Islam is no good. This was a terrible decision you made when you became a Muslim. They try to use that against you. You have to be wise. Tell them, look, this is the fact, but still, don't think that you're better. Unless you become a believer, you will never be better. Because that kafir might go to the hellfire because he oppressed you. But because he died as a Muslim, one day he will be taken out of the fire, taken to paradise. The disbelievers will never have this privilege. Theirs will be eternal. This is a point of difference that we need to mention. Anyways, we don't want to make this too long. This is the bottom line. He mentioned more points, which I do not recall because I didn't have the intention of doing this khutbah translation. I wanted the other brother to do it, but Allah decreed that he got busy with something else. So there were more points that were mentioned, but all of them fall under the general principle of trust between the Muslims, truthfulness, and no cheating, and no interest. And everything is supposed to be done with ihsan. Yani when you buy, you're supposed to buy in a good manner. And when you sell, you're supposed to sell in good manner. Also, Islam prescribes that if a person borrows money from you, to take it easy on him. And not to sweat him all the time and ask him for the money when you know this person is unable to pay you. If you are able to pardon this person and give him more time to pay the money, then do so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and if you pardon him altogether, that's even better. That's even better for you. Yani you lend him 100 riyals. And he's supposed to pay you back on the 15th of September. Tayyib, his situation didn't get any better. He can't give you the money. So you give him another week and another week. You're being nice with him. But then you realize this person really needs this money. So you come out of your kindness of your heart and you say, Ya akhi, forget about it. I don't want nothing from you. Barakallahu fi. This is very valuable in Islam. And there used to be a cell phone and it's not. Now it's a broken gadget. He's mad. Yes, just let me finish the point, Habibi. No problem. Yes.
If you're a businessman, you should be shrewd, right?
Right.
Then, how about if you have these white lies? What can you say about white lies?
There's no such thing as white lies in Islam. You can get a lion painted with a nice white paint, it will still be a lie. So this.
My pointer is, you are using white lies just to protect yourself, not to have the meaning of this guy, or just to make trouble with each other.
So what I know, there's absolutely no lying in Islam, except in very little exceptions, such as if two people have a problem with each other and you want to bring reconciliation between them, you come and you tell him that the brother is okay with you, he loves you and stuff like that. This is yani, if you want to say, or a husband lied to his wife. She cooks some food that tastes like trash and you tell her, mashallah, this is beautiful. Because the woman, if you tell her that her food is no good, she will cry for 3 weeks. So you're trying to play smart and you tell her, yani, ma'alish, this is nice. Then you go puke in the bathroom and you go downstairs and buy a falafel or ta'miyah or whatever you have. And these are the exceptions to the rule. But otherwise, lying is not okay in Islam. So white lies in a business transaction, I really can't see why you would need to, why somebody would need to. But it's not allowed. Yeah, people do a lot of stuff. But the actions of people are different than what it's supposed to be. In transactions, I do not know anything that permits any kind of lies. Rather, there's no white lies, there's lies, that's it. Either you're lying or you're being truthful.
Even for my wife, sometimes I do that white lies.
That's cool.
It's a sin,
no. No, it's not. How are you going to tell us it's a sin and you do it, ya Sheikh? If it's a sin, you better leave it alone. No, it is not a sin. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us in a narration that it is not a sin. And also the third exception is during wartime. If there's war, you don't go tell the people, oh, by the way, all of our men are hiding behind the stone over here, and there's our tanks. Allah be a truthful. Say, thank you very much. They blow everybody up and then they win. You could lie in war. Say, khalas, we changed our mind or something, then you boom, run up on them or something along these lines. But lying to your wife, Habibi, is permissible. But we have to make a distinction. There has to be an objective, which is not to hurt her feelings. Not you just walk in the house lying all the time. Did you go to work? Yes. And you were playing outside. So you're lying for her feelings because the women are made, as the Prophet ﷺ, the women are made from a bent. This is somebody's nice glasses, man, Raven. From a bent rib. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you try to strain it, it will break. Even if I did this to this, it will break. If you leave it crooked, it will be crooked. This is woman. So you will understand. So you really cannot, you have to be very wise in how you turn here. If you don't know how to drive, you go off board, you will crash. So it's permissible to lie at times where you think her feelings will be hurt. Because maybe she doesn't look good and she tells you, do I look good today? So you look very nice. And you really don't think so.
But it was
yes. These are the exceptions. But don't make it a profession where all day you lie at home. This is only for exceptions and if you think it's necessary. There's some people, and he goes cheat on his wife, and he says, well, I'm supposed to lie, I will hurt her feelings if I told her I'm cheating on her. And say, no, Habibi, this is a whole other story. You cannot be cheating to begin with, and this kind of lie is not acceptable. See what I'm saying? So you understand the point. Lying in things that will hurt her feelings, so you just try to play smart, but doesn't mean you become a liar, because we are supposed to be truthful.
Huh?
Yes. So yani to avoid it is better, but sometimes you need to do it. Anyways, I forgot the point that I was trying to establish, which is fine, because I've said many other things, maybe that will explain it. But the bottom line is, we need to be truthful in the way we deal with one another, and it has to be based on, yes, you're lending the person the money. Now, so anyways, you tell him, actually take the 100 riyals, barakallah fiqh, I do not want nothing back from you. Now, you will think that you lost 100 riyals, but in reality, you gained a lot more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will probably give you that money back in this dunya multiplied. And it doesn't have to be where you are, you know, sleeping and all of a sudden an envelope falls on your face with 200 riyals. Oh, mashallah, tabarakallah. Allah gave me the money back. It might be 2 years later. It might be, I used to be a comedian, I think. It might be 2 years later where Allah will give you a job where your salary will be 50% more than another job you would have gotten, but because of this 100 riyal you paid 3 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with that money at one point during your life. You do not have to know about it. But you put your trust in Allah that when you forgave this brother and you told him keep the 100 riyals, it's not gone. It will come back, because the Prophet ﷺ said, no money has ever been decreased because of a charity. It will never be decreased. And this is in this world. What Allah has prepared for you in the hereafter from reward in paradise is even much better than 100 riyals. Of course, if you are able to forgive the person. Sometimes you need the money more than he does, and you really want it back. So yani, each person knows the situation better. And I think this will be sufficient for him.
How about, sir, if I find an envelope full of money in the place?
What I know is the asal is you have to ask who is the owner of this money, and you keep it with you, or you search for the person, and after a long search, if it has been proven that you haven't found anyone, yani there's a discussion among the scholars which I do not remember right now, so leave that alone. So Allah, maybe next time we will find out what it is. But usually,
I have business. I buy cell phone.
Yes.
15%. What I need to make? I make 15% in 3 months. 3 months to pay, like that.
It's fine.
I buy cell phone. They don't make.
And he marks it up?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I understand what you say. Yani, this is for 200 riyals.
Yes.
But if you pay me in 3 months, it'll be 350 riyals. Right? Yeah. Well, I will increase the price, but I'll give you more time to pay.
No, this point is
15%.
You'll be buying less than 200 riyals. It will be raising 15% out of the cost.
Okay.
It will give 3 months.
3 months to pay. 3 months to pay.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what I'm saying.
If we make it 3 months, 4 months, the price is the same.
The same.
No, but you marked it up 50%.
He is marking up.
Yes. Yeah, and this item here is 299 if you buy it right now at the store with cash. You say, I do not have 299. I said, no problem. I'll give it to you for 350 riyals and you have 4 months to pay me.
Yes.
So he marks it up and he takes it back. The scholars have differed. Some scholars say it is permissible because both parties agreed at that time that this will be done. The other scholar said no, this is basically going around in a form of interest. So Allahu A'lam, which is the most correct opinion, but the safest thing to do is to stay away from a transaction that seems to be a little hold on now, I'm not trying to ruin your life. I'm just saying, the scholars have differed. The scholars of Saudiya here, they allow it. The scholars of Saudiya, which are, if you want to compare the scholars of Saudiya with all the other scholars in the world, they seem to be like little flies. Because mashallah, here there's knowledge, there's here the people are still upon the deen. But the scholar who has the other opinion, is the Shaykh al-Albani, 15%, huh? Allah, Allah. He's doing business in the class too. May I give you this phone? So anyway, so it's a very prominent scholar.
He's selling the phone, not in his handbags. He's still in the store.
Oh, that's a whole other problem. No, it's not.
He's in the store. You are selling before the cell phone is still in the store, right?
No, I buy before the store.
If I want you, you can ask first outside before buying from the store and give to him, right?
Well, you know what? That's rough. These things need a fatwa. They need an Islamic verdict from a scholar. I am a student of knowledge, if I am maybe considered a student of knowledge. So these things are very, I'm not going to sit there and dwell into things that are none of my business. You need to really send a fatwa to the committee of Ifta over here. Or we can search a fatwa that somebody asked the same question before and find out what the actual scholars have said in regarding to this, which will be safe. I mean, we can do that, inshallah, later. You call me on a future time. Other than that, the transactions is a very specific aspect in Islam, and a person really needs to have learned all the various branches of business before he gives a fatwa. And I personally haven't done any of that. So all I'm doing is translating, and the few couple of things that I know, just trying to send them across. But it needed somebody who has studied this and sat down under the Shaykh and had to open the book and memorize narrations and know the whole fiqh, the whole jurisprudence behind business transactions in Islam. Because it involves whether your earning is permissible and halal or haram. And if it is haram, then the Prophet ﷺ said any body, any human body that has grown out of prohibited wealth, the fire is more deserving of that body. So if you live your life out of money you make in an unlawful manner, then you are really not conducting yourself Islamically the way you're supposed to. So really we need to have more knowledge about these before we dwell into any business transaction. Khalas?